Shall we pray? Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise for the privilege, O God, of being alive to you in who you are and all that you are. As you continue to unveil, O God, your name to us, Father, we pray that we will live by who you are and live in all that you are, Father. That everything within us will be established in the true knowledge of our God. That everything will be established in us in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit, in accordance with your will, Father. That all that is within us, O God, will unveil, O God, the glory of the wonder of you, alive in us in a brilliance, O God, of your light fashioned into our being, Father. So that we will live in the light of your life, Lord. That we will live, O God, by who you are and by all that you are. That we will be unveiled as a chosen people, Father, who dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, under the shadow of the Almighty. That we will rise into the mount of the Lord, in heart circumcised, O God, by your Spirit, Father. That we will unveil, O God, as sons of the living God, as you manifest in us, O God, the glory of him who is the Son of God, Father. That in his image and in his fullness we will be fashioned to unveil as a new creation, Father. That, Lord, we will come alive, O God, to a true knowledge of thee, Father, in the fullness of your Son, Father. That in that true knowledge of you, O God, we will be able to function, O God, in the witness that you have given us, Father. Realizing, O God, the healing that you mean to manifest in us, and walking into the victory, O God, that you have given us in the name Yahweh Nisi, Father. The victory, O God, that declares, O Lord, that you are a God who will battle Amalek from generation to generation, Father. That, Lord, you will destroy enmity that stands against you, Father. That, Lord, you will establish your righteousness, Father. And we are the people who are asked to know and understand, Lord, that we are called, O God, to unveil, O God, your righteousness. We are called to unveil, O God, your presence, Father. We are called, O God, to declare the truth that will set the captives free. So, Father, bless us, O God, this evening, Lord. Bless us, O God, with a continuing revelation of your name, this covenant name, and enable us to understand that in this name, Yahweh Nisi, Father, you mean to unveil a reality, O God, of a people who are at war with powers of darkness, Lord. That we are called to establish the truth, Father. We are called, O God, to proclaim the name of Jesus. We are called to unveil the testimony of Jesus. We are called to unveil the witness in blood, water, and spirit. We are called to establish, O God, your righteousness, Father, through everything that we become, in everything that we do in thought, word, and in deed. We are the body of Christ, Father. We are the fullness of him who is to fill all in all, Father. So we pray that as you continue to unveil the mystery of Christ, thereby unveiling, O God, the realities of who you are, Lord, that we will be equipped in a new creation to do all that is right and true before you, Lord. That we will rise, O God, to do things, O God, we have never thought of doing before. That we will be equipped in the courage and strength of the lion and the lamb. That we will be overcomers, O God. That we will truly put on the armor of light, put on the armor of God, O God, and stand firm in the day of evil, Father. Overcoming, O God, every assault of the enemy and declaring your righteousness, Father. Declaring the reality that you are our strong fortress. You are our shield and you are our defense, O God. You are our rock, O God. And we cannot be moved, Father, because you are our righteousness, Father. We want to bless you and thank you for what you mean to speak to us today. Bless us, O God, in accordance with your holy name. Save us, O God, by your name. And vindicate us, O God, by your power. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are on the subject of unveiling the name of God. This is module 8. And this is tape 22. The first tape on Yahweh Nisi, which is the next covenant name of God that we want to unveil. Yahweh Nisi. So shall we just turn to Exodus, the 17th chapter. Exodus, the 17th chapter. Reading from verse 8. Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, "Choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands. one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book, and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called its name, The Lord is my banner, or Yahweh Nisi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Praise the Lord. Let me just read those last two verses from the New American Standard. Exodus 17. From verse 14 to 16. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this in a book as a memorial and recite it to Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and named it, The Lord is my banner, Yahweh Nisi. And he said, the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war against Amalek from generation to generation. The Lord will have war against Amalek from generation to generation. Yahweh Nisi. The Lord is our banner. And the Lord is our banner in the reality of us being a people who are at war. And we are at war with powers and principalities in the heavenly places. So this battle that was won by Joshua, this battle is a foreshadowing of what God expects the church to be involved in. All right? What the church expects to be involved in the modern age. Warfare has got personal dimensions and it has got corporate dimensions. We all have to wage a war in a personal front line, okay? We all have to wage war in our own beings. There are things we have to overcome. There are darknesses that we have to bring under the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? There are things that need to be worked out in our lives. There are victories to be realized in our lives. Warfare is very much a part of Christian growth. We are a people who are called to overcome. We are called to overcome an enemy who is unseen, but an enemy who is working, and his result and the results of his working are seen in the lives of human beings all over the world. We see the results of this enemy's effects as we read the newspapers every day, as we read about wars, as we read about famines, as we read about murders and rapes, as we read about all kinds of sexual perversions, we realize that this is a war that has got casualties in the billions. That billions of lives are being lost as casualties of this war. This war that many people don't even understand even exists. So as Christians, we are required to understand that we are a people at war. And this name, Yahweh Nisi, is unveiled in the reality of God having sworn an oath. And he has sworn an oath that he will have war against Amalek from generation to generation. God has sworn an oath that he will have war against Amalek from generation to generation. And as you grow as a Christian, as you enter into Christian ministry, you will find that God will put you on the front line. He will ask you to become part and parcel of this battle. This battle in the reality of your own personal life, in the reality of your family, in the reality of the church that you belong to, in the reality of the ministry that God has given you, he will ask you to wage this war. And this war has to be fought, because this war is being fought in your life. You can't run away with it. It has had multiple effects on your life. It has affected you in your thoughts. It has affected you in your words. It has affected you in your character, in your nature. It affects your family. It affects things you speak. It affects things you do. Right? The casualty of this war, the after effects of this war, are very evident in each one of our lives as we understand what sin does to us. The wages of sin is death. And the casualties of war are always dead people. Destruction. Right? And we have all experienced this destruction and this war in our personal capacities. Many of us are trapped in this reality of being casualties of this war because we are not prepared to fight. Because we are not willing to address the weaknesses that we have and take them to the Lord so that those weaknesses can be dealt with, so that those fortresses that hold us can be destroyed in our lives and we can start a new life. We are not prepared to make the necessary choices that will enable us to have a new life. We are not prepared to address weaknesses in our lives, weaknesses in the way we live our lives. We are not willing to look at our past and understand that we have a problem and that problem has to be handled. And God wants you to know it is His will that Amalek be defeated in your life. And you must be willing to allow Him to come alive in you as a man of war. Right? To enable you to rise and take hold of the inheritance you have in Jesus Christ and not let the devil rob you of what you have in God. So Yahweh Nisi is about you going out and realizing the blessings and covenants of God. The backdrop to this is the fact that you have been chosen, you are anointed, you have a great place, high place that God wants you to take you into. He has given you His Son. He's prepared to open you to His intimacy. He's prepared to heal you. He's prepared to deliver you. But now He wants you to understand that you must be prepared to enter this war in your own free choice. All right? In your own free choice. So let's look at some New Testament passages to try and define the dimensions of this war. All right? Let's turn to Ephesians. Not to Ephesians. Let's turn first to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. So there are such things as fortresses. And these are fortresses or realities that have got strong influences over us. Fortresses of pride, fortresses of anger, fortresses of lust, fortresses of arrogance, fortresses of stubbornness, fortresses of falsehood. These are fortresses. These are spheres of influence that have got strongholds on us personally and have got strongholds over us collectively, have got strongholds over us in the city that we live in. These fortresses are real. These fortresses are real. And the fortresses have to be dealt with, right? But what it says here is that God has given us weapons of our warfare which are not of our flesh but are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. So verse 5 says, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. So this is what the fortresses are dealing with. They are taking away from you the knowledge of God. And you can only deal with these fortresses through the knowledge of God. You cannot deal with it by religious fervor or by techniques or methods. The battle is in the knowledge of God, and the only way you can break through these fortresses is to unveil something that is based on the knowledge of God. So it says here in verse 5, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And you immediately understand that the first front in which we fight this battle is in our personal life. To bring all things in captivity to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah? And we have to be willing to do that. Many people are not willing to do that. They just want to superficially gloss over things, right? Things are not going right in your life. You just superficially gloss over it and say, it's all fine and dandy, right? Pastor, just lay hands on me and pray and it'll all be done. Cannot be done like that. It involves choices you have made. Because the reason why you have these problems is because you have opened the doors through choices you have made through a lifetime. And now you have to make choices to allow God to come into your life and allow the knowledge of God to destroy those strongholds. They won't disappear magically. Because they are there because of your own free choices. Because of what you want. Because of what you desire. What your flesh desires. So you really need to understand that you have to come alive to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have to bring all things in your life to subjection to His authority. You at least must know that you need to address that in your life. And the way in which you address that is to recognize that you need to do that. You need to pray that, and you need to ask God to manifest that into your life, to enable you to realize the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just simply play lip service to it, but to follow it through with the life that you live. Receive the Word of God, hear the Word of God, understand the Word of God, accept the Word of God, hold it fast in a good and honest heart, and don't play games with it. Do what the Word of God demands of you. Always asking God to do in you what you can't do. There are many things that we read in the Word of God that are impossible for us to do. So, who can make you do something? God has to make you do something. He's got to enable you to do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. If Christ strengthens you, you can do all things. That's what the Bible is saying. So allow God to strengthen you through Christ. Allow the Holy Spirit to bring into you the Spirit of Christ. Are you with me? And watch what you do. Watch what you say. Right? Watch your actions. Go out and do what is right. Go out and do what is necessary. Deal with your pride. Right? If you have been living a life that is just a camouflage, you have to open that camouflage and say, Lord, it's time for me to face myself. If you need help, ask for help. But you have to address those things. Watch what you say. Watch what you do. You see, it's about thoughts and speculations. It's about the whole thinking process that we have. You see, at the root of all of these fortresses are the processes of thoughts that govern the human race. Every one of us has thoughts. What God is telling you, there are thoughts inside of you that are not right. They are not right simply because they are not in consonance or they are not in line with God's word. There are desires, there are attitudes, there are thought processes, there are passions, there are objectives, there are goals in your life that are inconsistent with God's will and plan for your life. They are inconsistent with the Word of God. And as long as you keep on cultivating these things that stand against God's will, you're going to be stuck in a rut. You're just going to go around in circles. And you must have the courage to understand you have a problem. You can't sweep the serpent under the carpet. It's a serpent. So here he is saying, right? We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. So we have a battle. The battle belongs on a personal front. But the good news is that God has sworn that He will fight this battle. Right? He will fight this battle. So turn to the Lord. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You find that in Philippians. Let's just turn to that and read that. Philippians. Chapter 4. Verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Verse 19. And my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. How do you win this war? Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Right? Pray with thanksgiving. Pray the word. God has to perform His word. If you pray and understand, if you understand and know the word of God accurately, it has already been said by through the prophet Jeremiah that God is watching over his word to perform it. He will perform his word. If you pray in your emotions, God cannot answer your emotions because your emotions are all tied up with your fallen nature. In fact, at the heart of your problem is your emotions. And if you keep on praying with your emotions, you're asking God to solve what? You're not asking him to solve your problems. You're asking him to solve things and keep those problems intact. And how can he answer such prayer? Verse 7, and the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension or all understanding shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things and not on rubbish. We have to stop running each other down. We all have mistakes. You address your mistakes. You have enough mistakes to deal with in your life. Right? Dwell on good things and you will break through all the strongholds of all those things that have destroyed your life for so many years. You know, if something is not happening to you in God, there is a reason, because of something that is able to prevent the realities of God manifesting to you. And you may say, how can God be stopped by the evil one? God is not being stopped by the evil one. He's being stopped by you keeping the evil one with your wrong thoughts. You are petting this serpent and keeping him and saying, nice serpent. Let me continue to be a crook. Nice serpent. And say, oh Lord, save me. Or something is inconsistent. One side you want to keep the serpent, the other side you're saying, God, save me. Save me, Lord, but I want to keep this serpent. I don't want to change this way. Now how on earth can God do that? We don't want to address things that are not right in our families. We don't want to address things that are not right in our children's lives. Hello, life is not make-believe. Christian life is not make-believe. The things we do in our Christian life are tangible things. You have to live the right life. You have to make the right steps. You know, if you're a student, you really need to get back to your books and get focused and do one thing at one time. Get one thing at one time. Understand what your limitations are. And understand that in Christ Jesus those limitations can be overcome and you can do all kinds of wonderful things. But you have to come to know Christ first. It is not make-believe. Yes, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, but you must know how Christ strengthens you. You must know for yourself that Christ can strengthen you. It is not just make-believe. Faith has an evidence, guys. You need to understand God cannot do the wrong things. You have been doing wrong things for the last 20 years. Now you become a Christian. You want God to work in those wrong things. How can he work in wrong things? How can he work in falsehood? He can't do that. You can fast and you can cry and you can do whatever you want. But God cannot work in falsehood. So you have to get your life out of falsehood and get it into the right pathways. Surely you know that. The whole world is against me. Hello, brother. You're not living in Outer Mongolia. You're living in Malaysia. You've got so many opportunities in this country. Don't tell me you can't work in this country. We have millions of foreigners working in this country. I mean, literally millions, I think. It's more than a million foreigners working in this country. If million foreigners can find a job, I can't understand why you as a citizen of Malaysia can't find a job. You mean you're incapable of doing any kind of job? Don't do an honest day's job and see God do open new things in your life. You have to address things that are strongholds of weaknesses in your life. You can't gloss over it and think that God is going to gloss over it. He will address it. You have to meet up to your responsibilities, right? You have responsibilities. And God is asking you to rise up and do the right thing. And the moment you choose to do one thing right, you'll be amazed how those fortresses start breaking. Do something right. And ask the Lord to come alive in you and help you do it. And see how the fortresses break. Get into the Word of God. Spend that time in the Word of God. And see how God brings that Word alive in you. Right? Ask God for His purpose in your life. And follow that purpose. Look at verse 9. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace shall be with you. Now peace represents victory in the Bible. Peace represents victory, and you must go after that peace that passeth all understanding. That is telling you that strongholds in your life are being broken. If you are in turmoil all the time, that is telling you that you don't know God. You are not in God's will if you're continuously in turmoil. You're continuously being agitated. That means you're not in God's will. So he says here, and the God of peace shall be with you. Right? What is so important about the God of peace? Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 10. For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. See, peace is the result of the covenant that God is fashioning within you. What is so important about this covenant of peace? What has taken place in order for this covenant of peace to come alive in you? Let's turn to Romans chapter 16. Verse 20. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. And every time you have peace in your heart, something of the devil has been broken in your life. Some stronghold of the enemy has been destroyed in your life. You see, only God understands you, and it is only God who can deal with the deep things that are inside of you. And God deals with them by manifesting a peace that is beyond your understanding. And in that peace, He is telling you, I have made the breakthrough inside of you. You may not understand, you may not even fully appreciate what that breakthrough is, but when you receive that peace in your heart, you realize that I have come through with something. Something of Satan has been destroyed. Some stronghold of iniquity in your life has been destroyed. And everything that is of the realm and strongholds of the enemy are meant to be destroyed. Not merely broken, destroyed. Totally and completely destroyed. Let's turn to 1 John. We do not fight this war against human beings. We fight this war against spiritual powers in heavenly places. And we don't take prisoners of war. We destroy them. 1 John. Because you can be sure when the devil takes you a prisoner, he's not going to keep you. He's going to kill you, brother. If you keep on allowing the devil to keep on winning victories in your life, he is going to kill you. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Steals your hope, kills everything that is good inside of you, and ultimately he destroys you until there's nothing left. So let's look at what Jesus came to do. verse 8. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. The one who practices sin, that means does it deliberately, is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And we mean to destroy the works of the devil. But it starts with our own lives. You must get serious about this, and you must be prepared to have the courage and the conviction to take hold of what God has given you. If you need help, ask for it. Don't assume that men of God know everything that is happening inside of you. Only God knows what is happening inside of you. People may be able to tell you something or one or two things that are right, but you have to sit down and open your heart and address those things. There is a place for counseling. There is a place for prayer and counsel, right? So you need to understand we are a people at war. The good news is that the Lord has sworn the Lord will make war with Amalek from generation to generation. So take hold of that. You are a new generation. In Christ Jesus, you are a new generation. God wants to do war in your generation. He wants to do war through your generations too. He wants to set your family line free. He wants you guys to rise up and make new beginnings so that your family lines will be blessed. And you have to take this seriously and do that battle. You've got to be able to stand in the gap and pray for people. So how do we destroy these strongholds of darkness, okay? How do we destroy those strongholds of darkness? Let's go back to Exodus chapter 17. And the great clue is in this wonderful passage of scripture. Exodus chapter 17. First thing Moses says is that I will station myself, verse 9. So Moses said to Joshua, choose men for us and go out, fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will station myself on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. Two things are mentioned here, the hill and the staff of God. Now when we started this entire series on the Most High God, starting with the name of God as the Most High God, we mentioned that the reality of God, right, unveils in the secret place of the Most High God to each one of us uniquely. You don't have to compete for this. It is given to you. The thing is, you must be willing to rise into this mount. So the mount of the Lord is a reality of a spiritual position that God wants each one of us to occupy. All right, so you have to take your position in the mount of the Lord. Okay? What is the mount of the Lord? Genesis chapter 22 verse 14. In the mount of the Lord it will be provided. Yahweh Jireh. Or Yahweh Yireh. Or Jehovah Jireh. So God provides. And God provides in the mount of the Lord. He provides in His precious Son. So how do you ascend into the mount of the Lord? You ascend into the mount of the Lord with your heart. So let's turn to Psalm 24 verses 3 and 4. We're going through material we have visited before, but it's so important to keep on re-emphasizing the Word of God. Psalm 24 verses 3 and 4. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Now the Hebrew word for hill here and the Hebrew word for mount that we read in Genesis 22, 14 is the same Hebrew word. So who may ascend into the mount of the Lord and who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Why does God put clean hands before pure heart? Because it is in your actions that you know that you have a pure heart. If your actions are right, you know that your heart is right. You do things in word and deed. So often when you speak, you know what is in your heart. When you run down somebody else, you know what is in your heart. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully. See, this position in the mount of the Lord depends on you doing the right thing, you having a clean heart, and you not allowing falsehood to govern your life. So this mount of the Lord manifests in truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. So how do you ascend into the Mount of the Lord? You ascend into the Mount of the Lord by setting your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it is available to all of us sitting here. But this is not hope, it's not wishful thinking. Hope is persevering thought. Okay, let's turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 from verse 3. Romans chapter 5 verse 3. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So hope is not wishful thinking. Oftentimes in the world we live in, hope is just wishful thinking. Here it says hope is something that comes through you being persevering, even through tribulation. Holding on to a steadfast and true character, focusing on that which is right and true, on good things. That hope. Okay? So set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. Set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Hebrews chapter 6 verse 19 says, let's turn to that. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 19 says, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul. So hope anchors the soul. A hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. Behind the veil is the Mount of God. What sort of veil is this? Keep your finger here. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 19 and 20. Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil that is his flesh. The veil, this veil is the veil of his flesh. Now what does his flesh represent? The knowledge of him. As you know Jesus, as you set your hope on the Jesus whom you know, it opens your soul to a position behind the veil in the Mount of the Lord. It anchors your soul there. You have a revelation of Jesus Christ that is real. That's why you are here. If you didn't have that revelation of Jesus Christ in your heart, you wouldn't be here. So there is no person sitting here who does not have a revelation of Jesus Christ that is a genuine revelation. The thing is, you're not exercising that revelation. You're not exercising your hope in him. You're sitting down and meditating on your problems. You're sitting down and saying, woe is me. You're meditating on yourself as a casualty of the war. And you're saying, woe is me. And God is asking you to get out of that. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. You need to understand somebody is trying to kill you. Get up and walk, setting your hope on the Lord. You can't feel sorry for yourself. Judas felt sorry for himself and he committed suicide. It didn't help him at all. Peter too cried, but he cried in repentance. And that was a totally new beginning for him. So you better understand that when you cry, you need to understand what kind of cry you are making. Is it a cry to turn a new leaf and say, Lord, I want a new beginning? Or is it a cry that says, oh Lord, I am in a terrible state? You know, like we have in our Tamil funerals, we have this opari. You know, they sit down and they wail when somebody dies. That is useless sorrow. It's a sorrow of death. It is destructive sorrow. There is a place for real sorrow where you cry. It's a sorrow of repentance. It's a sorrow of turning a new leaf and saying, Lord, I rise. by your Spirit into a new beginning. Alright, so this hope we have is an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us. Why for us? He has opened the way, guys. He has opened the way in His merits. You're entitled to it, not based on merit, by just you recognizing the name of Jesus. Just you giving cognizance to what He has done for you. And when you feel sorry for yourself, you're not giving cognizance to what He has done. You're giving cognizance to what you have done. And it's worthless sitting down and moping about what you have done and how life has passed you by. There are no solutions in the past. The solutions are in the future. The solutions are in taking new steps, new directions, finding new courage. Courage of the lion and the lamb. Ask, it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, it will be opened to you. How many times when the disciples had come to a point in their ministry, Jesus says, let us go from here. We are on a journey, brethren. We are pilgrims on a journey. Right? We are pilgrims on a journey. We have to move on. We have to move upwards. Leave the past aside. I know 50 years of your life have gone by, but get out of it. Leave the past behind and look to the future and start thinking differently. There are no answers in yesterday. So leaving the past, Paul says, I press on to the upward call of God over my life. Upward call of God. Rise up. Rise up. You know, there are fears that are binding you from getting into a job. Sometimes it is pride. What will others think of me? It is unimportant what others think of you. You mean when you are in trouble, they're all going to come and feed your family? These are the fortresses that the systems of the world impose on us. What will others think? What will others say? Go out and do an honest day's job. By doing that, you will break fortresses. I'm not saying you work as a laborer all your life, but you know, get out of it. You need to break out. You have to tell the devil to go to hell. And all those things that the devil has used to shackle me, you must say, enough is enough. But you must be prepared to go after it in the strength of the Lord. Turn to the Lord for that which you don't have. Setting your hope on Him, but you have to do the work. Ask Him to give you the concentration if you're a student. Ask Him to give you the conviction that you have a purpose in life. Ask and keep asking and go after it. And God will open the doors. You know, when you start anything in the kingdom of God, it starts with small beginnings. It doesn't matter who you are. When you come into the kingdom of God, everything starts with basic foundations. God will always spend time laying foundations. And laying foundations means the foundations of the old will be uprooted and thrown into the pits of hell. So you need to understand that those foundations are necessary. The height of the building depends on the strength of the foundations. The whole building is in the foundations. It is not in the top. It is in the bottom. If the bottom is wrong, the rest of it doesn't matter. It will always come down. If you design a process system or any other kind of system in engineering terms, it is all in the engineering. If the engineering is wrong, it doesn't matter what you have built. It will still go wrong. Once you have the wrong design, that's it. Everything else will go wrong. You can rectify as much as you want. There's no way you can rectify it back to what it was meant to produce. So So when God starts with you, you must understand that He comes to you, but He's not like in the world. In God, there is a process called renewal and regeneration. God can renew. God can regenerate. It takes time though. It is not magical. But there is renewal and regeneration. The old can be made new. In God there is a process of renewal and regeneration, Titus 3:5. That in the rhema of the word of God, the Holy Spirit can bring forth in you a washing of renewal and regeneration to give you a new life. Rhema means in the spirit and life of Jesus. That's the communication of rhema word. Through His spirit and His life, you will be enabled to be a new person. To receive a new character, to receive a new mind, to receive new thoughts. Regeneration, where something that is dead can be brought alive. In God, all things are possible. Nothing is impossible with God. So arise, brethren, and understand that God has sworn an oath to fight with Amalek from generation to generation. So God is willing to fight a battle in your life. And He's willing to establish the victory of the Lamb in your life. God has sworn an oath to that. It is not based on your merits. It is not based on how well you do something. It is based on His merits. It is based on what He is able to do. It is based on what He can bring forth. So everything is possible in God. But it will take time. It will take time because God will deal with your character and your nature. God will straighten those thoughts. God will ask you to address things in your life that are not right. God will address your character and your nature. He has to. You know, so many of us spend time pointing fingers at other people. Don't do that. You have enough faults of your own. If you want to talk about other people, it must be only for one intent, that you intend to intercede for them. Or you intend to minister to them. Because you cannot ask God for mercy when you have no mercy on other people. So remember this. Watch what you say. Watch what you say. Because what you say will have ramifications on your life. Alright, praise the Lord. So, the mount of the Lord, okay? So you have a position in the Lord. Take that position, okay? That position comes as you set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not difficult. In fact, David says you can dwell in the mount of the Lord continuously. Let's turn to Psalm 15, verses 1 and 2. O Lord, who may abide in thy tent? Who may dwell on thy holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. Who is the truth? Jesus said, I am the truth. So if you keep your focus on Jesus, and if you keep your focus on unveiling Him in your life through the witness that He has opened inside of you, you will take your place in the tent of the Lord. And you can abide in it continuously. And although you may walk in the midst of the world that you live in, your inward parts can dwell in God continuously. And you will walk in a different reality. So watch what happens inside of you. Watch what comes out of your mouth and you will know what is inside of you. Your mouth will always telegraph the contents of your heart. When you get irritated and you say something, when you get angry and say something, there are reasons why you get irritated, there are reasons why you get angry. And you don't have to be a genius. You will find that most of it is based on pride. Somebody offended you. because they offended you, you got angry. Offense is not a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So we do not fight war in the flesh. We fight war by the Spirit. And when the devil accuses you, when the devil provokes you, what is he trying to do? He's trying to get precisely that reaction. He wants you to get angry. He wants you to react. Because the moment you react and the moment you get angry, the poison that he has spit into you has taken root. That's what it means. When you react to something, it means you have received it, you have realized it, and now you are manifesting its results. So that's why he is called a snake. So when the cobra spits, and you then give back a response to that cobra in the same nature as that cobra, you have received his poison. Now that poison is working inside of you. There is going to be no life in that poison. That's why it said that you must bring every lofty thing, every speculation to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? That's why you pray in tongues, to be able to do that. Ask the Lord. Repent if you say the wrong thing. Don't pretend. Don't try and point a finger. Everybody tries to get away with wrong things in their life by pointing the finger at somebody else. Always somebody else is to blame. The government is to blame. The ruling party is to blame. Past is to blame. Somebody is to blame for everything in our lot in life. Blaming somebody just passes the buck, and you find that the problem with you is never addressed. No matter where you go in the world, you're going to find somebody who is going to stand against you, somebody is going to persecute you, somebody is not going to like you. You're going to find crooks all over the world who will misuse you. So you have to learn how to overcome. So the book of Revelation, Jesus' message to the seven churches is overcome. Don't find excuses. Overcome. Overcome the world. All right? So remember, you have to rise into the mount of the Lord to be able to address things properly. So one of the reasons why you pray in the Spirit is to exercise your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you exercise your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are behind the veil, your soul is anchored behind the veil, you are in the presence of God, and now you can deal with yourself. You are no longer in the shackles of the enemy. You are no longer in the shackles of your problem. The devil will use circumstances, he will use situations, he will use problems, he will use philosophies, he will use thought processes, he will use the news, he will use, you know, the politicians, anybody, anything that is in the media to get you into a depressed state. And you must never fall for that. What you see is what not what is what not what is. So this is what is faith, right? Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. And without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. God is a rewarder. Do you believe that or not? You have to continuously go before God and ask him to reward you with his goodness, reward you with what Jesus has paid the price for. That is so essential to faith. Faith is not mind over matter. Faith is the proclamation that God is. No matter what happens to me, God is. And from your inward part, you can access the reality of God, and you can remain in the reality of God, and you can overcome anything that happens to you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. But it is a battle. It is not easy. It is not convenient. It is a battle. You have to fight it. Devil says you are like this and you are like that. Devil uses people's opinions about you to suppress you, and soon you are dug a hole and you want to hide from the rest of the world. You have to get out of that and understand that he is lying. You are a son unto God, purchased by the blood of the Lamb, purchased in his faith and his love for you. How can the faith and love of Jesus fail in your life? But are you taking cognizance of the faith and love of Jesus, or are you just feeling sorry for yourself? See, brethren, being born again is not the end of all things, it is the beginning of all things. So you have to realize the life. The devil doesn't want you to live, he wants you to die. And you must insist on living. You must have the courage to live. You must have the courage to live. Because he is. Because he is a rewarder of those who seek him. He will reward you. Just keep on going. He will reward you. It has to come. It is his word. Today I was reading a book by someone, a small booklet actually, on biblical prophecy. And this guy makes a statement that the reason that the Bible is true is because every prophecy in it is 100% true. And God, through prophecy, if you really understand the scriptures, I must get a copy of that booklet and pass it around. Hundreds of prophecies that have been uttered, some of them short-term prophecies. This is what will happen, and in a few days or a few months or a couple of years it happened. Some took hundreds of years to fulfill. But there are thousands of prophecies in the Bible that have been fulfilled. Well, this author makes a research. He doesn't declare his research, but he says that these are so many prophecies that are there, but 2/3 have been fulfilled. So if 2/3 of the prophecies have been 100% fulfilled, how can you not rely on the word of God? Is there anything else to rely on except the word of God? Because there is no other document in the world that does the same kind of thing. It's not just the life of Jesus. It's about historical events that have happened, that God predicted them through his prophets. And then God fulfilled them. And you realize that all of those prophecies were fulfilled. So the argument is, if 2/3 have been 100% fulfilled, what about the rest of the 1/3? But there's more than just 1/3. There are so many things in the scriptures that you can verify for yourself in your own life. In fact, you have already verified several things in your own life. God does change life. So through the word of God, God is presenting to you a new thought process, a new perspective on life. A new reality. If you are willing to live in God instead of moping on your problems. And I keep saying this because you need to get into God and ask him to direct your life. You have to choose to do the things you don't want to do. In growing in the Lord, I have found God direct me to do things I didn't want to do. It took sometimes several years, but eventually God came through and enabled me to do it. But I always told the Lord, I must do that, but I don't want to do that. So Lord, can you help me do it? Can you help me do what I don't want to do? And after some time, he does it. How he does it, I don't know. But somewhere along the line, I began to realize that, Lord, I used to pray for this thing, and now I'm doing it. But you must take it to him and address it with him and say, Lord, I have this problem. You can help me. Because nothing is impossible with you. Because you are, I will be able to do this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Your spirit can cause me to walk in your ways. Your spirit can cause me to do the right thing. Right now, I find it so difficult. I'm struggling with it, Lord. I know I must love you, and there are parts of me that don't want to love you as I should. I know I must trust you, but there are parts of me that don't want to trust you. Lord, I have a problem. Can you help me, please? Take it to him. Take it to him in the simplicity of honesty and integrity and sincerity. And God will always recognize that prayer. He won't give you instantaneous answers, but he will surely give you 100% an answer. And you will find that he will develop that answer step by step over years. And then you find you have grown through the whole process. Stop looking at things in the flesh. If I change my country, if I change my nationality, if I change my wife, if I change this, I change that, it will change my life. It doesn't work like that, guys. God can give you favor wherever you are. Daniel was a slave in captivity. And in captivity as a slave, he rose to become prime minister in 3 different regimes. God gave him favor in the heart of what supposedly was ruled by Satan. You think God wrote that story for the fun of it? You and I don't live in circumstances anywhere near that. Hello. What problem do you have? Huh? You don't live like that. He was a slave. He started from a position of having no rights. That's what it meant to be a slave. And from a position of no rights, God gave him position, authority, second only to the king. Now, isn't that a miracle? But what was Daniel's secret? The knowledge of God. He never gave out to the knowledge of God. He always kept that as his priority in life. Even when the king passed an edict and he knew that it would mean death, he still opened his windows and he prayed. Praise the Lord. So we need to understand this, right? Take your position in the Lord. Next week we will talk about the rod of God, all right? And that's the one that is really exciting, all right? So right now, you really need to understand we are at a people at war. Fight the war in your life. If you need prayer, there are people in the church who can pray for you. Right? There are people who in the church who can pray with you. Ask. Don't have this fixation that only the pastor knows everything. He doesn't. Only God knows everything. Everybody else is a vessel. Maybe small vessel, big vessel. But still, just vessels. Praise the Lord. So arise and walk, people. Right? Yahweh Nisi. The Lord wants you to understand that he has sworn an oath. Praise the Lord. Sworn an oath. I just want to leave you with a verse that talks about the oath. Hebrews chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 28. For the law appoints men as high priests who are weak, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints a son made perfect forever. You know, in the revelations of the names of God, we find that at the heart of the revelation of the name of God is the revelation of the Son. Did you get that? Right? Yahweh Elyon, God Most High, is an unveiling in the Passover of the Lamb. That heart is a heart of flesh. That heart of flesh is of the substance of the Master's fullness. For you to rise into the mount of the Lord, you have to receive something of Jesus Christ that will give you that pure heart so that you can occupy that position. And that position is under the shadow of the Almighty, right? El Shaddai, And the name El Shaddai is manifested in you through a circumcision of your heart. So what is God doing when He's circumcising your heart? He's manifesting realities of your position in the mount of the Lord so that you can stand with authority and claim what is yours. Praise the Lord. Third name, Yahweh Yireh. Right? Yahweh Yireh is God's provision. And what does God provide for you? God provides for you in the Son. Why does He say in the Son? Because God provides for us in the world that we live in temporal terms. That means it is real for a time and a season. The air we breathe and everything else. But in the Son, God provides for you in eternal abiding terms. Right? So God makes the distinguishment between the transitory and the abiding. So in the Son, God provides for you permanently. In eternity, in the abiding. Right? And He does that so that your position in the mount of the Lord will unfold in the magnificence of the sun. You will become a morning star in the image and fullness of the bright and morning star. Yahweh Rohai, the Lord who is your shepherd, who wants to lead you so that you can move into the things that God has for you. Starts with an intimacy, right? Knowing God. See, God is preparing you for warfare. So He says, you need to know Me. When you know Me, you will realize My witness, Yahweh Rohai. So when you begin to know me and understand My witness, the next thing is I'm going to heal you. I'm going to heal you and I'm going to deliver you, Yahweh Rophe. Right? So that you become the vessel I want you to be. Now He says, you're ready now to go to war. Yahweh Nisi. Right? There are strongholds that need to be broken in your life. And you need to take that position that I have for you so that you can manifest My authority into things that I have called you to do. So have you got a career? Yes, you have. Praise the Lord. So please understand that you are unique. So understand God's purposes in your life. You know, we need to be radical Christians in an age where everything is turning dark. So much of dishonesty, so much of crookedness, so much of hate, so much of vindictiveness. We know the living God. We have access to the living God. We have His strength and His power alive to us. We have His character and His nature alive to us. There are no boundaries to our realization of His fullness. Because He is limitless. But we must understand everything in our God opens in truth. So Jesus in the cross He prayed. In John 17, verse 17 I think, He said, Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. And He says, I go to sanctify Myself. Let's turn to that and just end with that. This is the prayer to the cross, at the cross. And Jesus says, verse 17, chapter 17, verse 17, sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. As Thou didst send Me into the world, I also send them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify Myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. Praise the Lord. So sanctification in truth comes through the word that is explained to us in the testimony of Jesus. What does that mean? It means that the word that is explained to you in the spirit and life of Jesus will sanctify you and set you free. Always remember the word of God stands forever. So realize that and realize your position in the Lord. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You that You have sworn an oath to war with Amalek from generation to generation. In this generation, we are a people at war too, Father. Not with human beings, but with principalities, powers, mights and dominions in the heavenly places. And Father God, we realize that in the name of Jesus, We have a position far above every principality, power, might, and dominion. A position with Christ. A position that is given to us in His merits. A position that we are called to realize, O God. So that we will see the destructions of fortresses, O God, over our spheres of influence, over the lands in which we live in, Father. So we ask You, Lord, to bring forth in us the reality of Christ Jesus in such a way that He will rise in us as a man of war. So that, Lord, we will see the unveiling, O God, of the power of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Even as we choose to bring every lofty thing and every speculation that is raised up against the knowledge of God, as we choose to bring all things in subjection to Christ, beginning with our lives, seeing it in the church, and then unveiling it, O God, through the spheres of influence that we walk in, Father. So we thank You that You are doing a great work in each one of us, that there is an awesome power and authority that is available to us. So Lord, as we rise to address things in our life, as we realize what we have in Jesus Christ, enable us to stand up and proclaim the victory of the Lamb. Enable us to stand up and proclaim, O God, the destruction of fortresses, Father. Knowing, Lord, that the God of peace will soon crush Satan under our feet. We thank You that it is Your word. And in Jesus' name we bless You, Father. Holy Spirit, we thank You for what You have brought into our hearts. We pray that You will nurture in us the testimony of Jesus so that we will become the people You want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.